Mahu ma ani bechinam.
What is as I am for nothing, so you are for nothing in the work.
Azor Kadosh beparashat Truma.
It is written in the Zohar in portion Truma. And they shall take a donation for me. They shall take from me indicates that one who wishes to exert in a mitzvah and exert in the Creator must not exert in it futilely and for nothing. Rather, one should exert in it properly, according to one's strength, as it is written, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. If you say, but it is written, come, buy, and eat, and come, buy, for no money, and at no cost, wine and milk, it means that it is free, since wine and milk means the Torah. He replies, but with exertion in the Torah, anyone who wishes is granted with it. The exertion in the Creator to know Him, anyone who wishes is rewarded with Him without any pay at all. But the exertion in the Creator that stands in act must not be taken for nothing and futilely. Futilely. For he will not be rewarded by this act at all to the extent in to extend on it the spirit of Kedusha, but at full cost. The matter of for nothing is also brought as follows. As I am for nothing, so you are for nothing. We should understand the following. One, what is exertion in the Torah? Two, what is exertion in the Creator to know Him? Three, what is exertion in the Creator which stands in an act? Four, what is the meaning of for nothing or for a cost? Meaning, whom should we pay? We see that one who works should be paid. Which means that one who works should be paid. Has such a thing been heard? We see there are people who work without pay, but to work and pay to those who for whom we work, where do we see such a thing? But later, when the correction of the restriction took place, which is the matter called the wholeness of his works, meaning when they receive the delight and pleasure from the Creator in order for them not to feel shame, a correction was done called concealment. That is, before the person obtains a vessel of bestowal, he does not see the delight and pleasure that will be revealed, that the delight and pleasure will give him an awakening to receive the good. This is in order to have room for choice. In the work, choice is in order to be able to observe Torah and mitzvot, not in order to receive reward. Since when the pleasure is revealed while performing the mitzvah, a person cannot say that he is observing the Torah and mitzvot because he wants to delight the Creator. Meaning that for him himself, he would relinquish the pleasure he is tasting, but because the Creator wants the creatures to enjoy, only for this reason does he accept the pleasure. This is impossible. Since man was born with a nature of wanting to receive for himself, therefore, how can he say that for himself he relinquishes the pleasure? How can a person relinquish the great pleasure that is found in Torah and Mitzvot? Because of this, sparks of light called tiny light were placed in the klipot, on which all of creation feeds before they are rewarded with vessels of bestowal. And since this is only a very thin light, a person begins to do the work of giving small pleasures in return for great pleasures. Meaning, to receive reward in return for relinquishing small pleasures that have nothing but nothing more than a tiny light in them. This is like commerce, where we gain more. This is where we trade. It is likewise in the work, where only later, when a person is used to relinquishing pleasures, although they are small compared to the pleasures found in Torah and Mitzvot, it is still considered that he is accustomed to the work, and there is room for choice. However, accordingly, we should understand. If a person engages in Torah and Mitzvot in order to receive reward for his work, why is he observing Torah and Mitzvot regarded as an effort? After all, this is also the conduct in corporeality, to relinquish small pleasures in order to obtain great pleasure. The answer is that in corporeality, the pleasure one receives for one's work is revealed in this world. Therefore, it cannot be regarded as an effort. But in Torah and Mitzvot, he must believe that he will have a reward in the next world. And since it depends on faith, there is already labor, since he must believe, and the body cannot believe, because by nature it needs to see and to know. But when we must believe, there are already ascents and descents. It follows that the efforts one should make in Torah and Mitzvot is one discernment. But there's also another discernment, which is to exert in the Creator to know Him. We should try to observe both in order to receive reward for the labor. That is, we must believe that we will receive reward both in this world and in the next world. This is as it is written in the Zohar. Fear is interpreted in three discernments. There's a person who fears the Creator so that his sons will live and not die, or fears a bodily punishment, or a punishment to one's money. It follows that the fear that he fears of the Creator is not placed as the root, for his own benefit is the root, and the fear is the result of it. And there's a person who fears the Creator because he fears the punishment of that world and the punishment of hell. Those two kinds of fear are not the essence of the fear. The fear that is the most important is when one fears one's master because he is great and ruling. Meaning both exertion in Torah and mitzvot and exertion in the Creator. But the main meaning of knowing him is to know that he leads the world in a guidance of the good who does good. And we must strive to know him in this respect. We should interpret that knowing him is when a person prays to the Creator or thanks the Creator. He should know to what name he is praying or to what name he is giving thanks. That is, when a person prays to the Creator for someone who is sick, to get better, he should know that he is praying to the name Healer of the Sick. At that time, it cannot be said that he is praying to the name Redeemer of the Captive, etc. Or when he thanks the Creator for delivering him from imprisonment, he should thank the name Redeemer of the Captive. And it cannot be said that he is thanking the name Dresses the Naked, etc. He says that both the exertion in Torah and Mitzvot and in the Creator to know him, in them, a person can be rewarded if he exerts for nothing or for no money and to no cost. This is called action. And this is the meaning of which God has created. Meaning the first half, the will to receive for oneself, on which man does not need to do.
But
the second half, which is in order to bestow, which pertains to the created beings, here there is work. Since it is against nature.
Hence,
there is a lot of work here to obtain it. This is called action, meaning which a person must do, and which is not done by the Creator, because we attribute to the Creator what he gives. That is, every bestowing, meaning giving, pertains to the Creator. But the second half of the kli, which is what the lower one wants to give, this belongs to the lower one. Now we can interpret what we asked. What is exertion in the Creator, which stands in an act? Which act are we speaking of? We should interpret that when a person exerts in the Creator in action, meaning in bestowing upon the Creator, this act belongs to the lower one, namely, that a person has to work to have this kli called desire to bestow. As in corporeality, when a person needs to learn the trade of making tools to sell to people, and making the tools is a profession, meaning a craft that must be learned, not at once, and not in 1 month. Likewise, here in the work, a person must learn the trade of making vessels of bestowal. A person cannot do it as soon as he wants to have these vessels. Rather, it is a craft that must be learned over a long period of time until he has such vessels, meaning the ability to observe Torah and mitzvot in order to bestow. Our sages said, the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination. I have created the Torah as a spice. This means that the Creator created the will to receive, which is considered the first part of the Kli, namely, the yearning for pleasure. And I created the Torah as a spice, which spices the evil inclination into a good inclination, making the will to receive work in order to bestow. Therefore, this means that the Creator gives the second part of the Kli as well. According to what our sages said about the verse, and to say unto Zion, you are my people, and they explained, do not pronounce my people, Ami, but with me, Aimi, which means partnering with me. This means that the creatures also make. We should interpret about the second half of the Kli. This is not all done by the Creator, but that there is man's work here too. However, we should interpret about the second half of the Kli, which we attribute to men, to man, sorry, that in this Kli, called desire to bestow, we also discern the matter of light and Kli. Hence, the Kli in the Kli belongs to man, meaning that which the Creator gives is called light. That which man gives is called a Kli, since a Kli is called a lack, and light is called the filling of the lack. Since the Creator is the giver, and abundance is called light, we attribute the light to the Creator, and the Kli, called a lack, belongs to the created beings, as this is their whole root, only a lack. And the Creator fills the lack.
Hence,
when speaking of the vessels of bestowal, this Kli too divides into two parts, as said above. One is called a lack, meaning that one must feel that he is lacking vessels of bestowal. That is, he feels that everything he does is for his own benefit, and believes that a person should adhere to the Creator, as it is written, and to cleave unto him, where dvekut, adhesion, is called equivalence of form. It pains him that he is far from dvekut with the Creator, And he sees that for himself, he has no way to emerge from the domination of the will to receive. This is called a lack. And this pertains to man. Meaning that man must feel the lack. This is regarded as an act. Meaning work in vessels of bestowal. And the light of the kli, meaning in the kli, which is the lack, will be the filling that is clothed, meaning the power that he can bestow. This is called the light in the kli. And the Creator gives this. By this we can interpret what we asked. Our sages said, I have created the Torah as a spice, meaning that the Creator also gives the kli called desire to bestow, and not man. Thus, why is the kli called action, which pertains to man's work in action? The answer is that the kli, called lack, when it pains him that he cannot do anything for the sake of the Creator, we attribute this to the creature. That is, the lack belongs to the creature. And the filling of the lack belongs to the Creator. This is why they said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. Meaning the light spices the evil inclination. In other words, the Creator gives the power to want to do everything for the sake of the Creator. But the lack in the kli, which a person, this a person has to feel within his body. This means that the person must do all that he can in order to achieve dvekut with the Creator. And making that lack is called a lack. And this is regarded as what we asked, what is the exertion in the Creator that stands in an act? Meaning that a person exerts in the Creator to be able to delight the Creator, meaning to bring him contentment. This desire is called an act, meaning making the lack. This is when he can bring contentment to the Creator. And this is the light in the kli. Now, we will explain what we asked. What is the meaning of the reward, and what is the meaning of for nothing? Ostensibly, it should have been the opposite. That is, the exertion in the Creator should be for nothing. An exertion in Torah and Mitzvot, and exertion in the Creator to know Him, should be for a reward. That is, those who exert will be rewarded. However, it implies that those who exert in action pay a fee. This is hard to understand for two reasons. One, where do we see such a thing that the one who works is the one who pays.
There
are people who work for no pay as volunteers. We do see this, but to pay in order to be allowed to work, this we do not see.
Two,
the question is, whom must we pay this fee? We should say that it is to the Creator. But how can it be said that the Creator receives reward, called profit? That is, how can we say that if a person does not think that the Creator will benefit, then his effort, called action, this act that the person does, will not yield that person any result? However, we should interpret this according to our way. There is the matter of lo lishma, which means that a person engages in Torah and mitzvot in order to receive reward. Naturally, one who works in order to receive reward always looks at what he will gain from exerting and following the orders of the landlord, and does not think at all about what the landlord will gain from his work. Sometimes, when the worker thinks that the landlord should profit too, it is not because he is concerned with the benefit of the landlord, but because the worker knows that if this business does not yield profits to the landlord, the business will shut down, and he will have no work. Other than that, he does not think about the landlord whatsoever. This is the meaning that he is not interested in the Creator making a profit. That is, that is called for nothing. But one who wants to work in action, which is making a kli to bestow contentment upon the Creator, it is explicitly for a reward. Meaning that the Creator will enjoy his work. In other words, a person is not concerned with his profits, but with the profit of the Creator. This is the meaning of the prohibition to take it for nothing, meaning without a profit. In other words, a person should aim all his actions that the Creator will enjoy. This is regarded that work in action should be for a reward, meaning that this will reward the Creator. Rav, I'll divide the question into two parts. Now that we're sitting and studying Rabash, we read the article. By this, are we bringing contentment to the Creator in this deed, all of us together?
Well, if there is such an intention, then of course we do.
Meaning, at first a person can come, enjoy the material, the coffee, the milk, and all that we talked about, and gradually, with time, the intention enters, and he does this deed because he feels that he's bringing contentment to him by us sitting and studying.
Yes, and even more than that, if we think that we're working for him, in order to delight him. And
that was the question, actually. If we're sitting here now after the convention and we all want to delight him, meaning for the study to be, to bring him contentment,
yes,
that's where we need to.
If not for this condition, you wouldn't be studying.
I have a question about that too, Rav. He's talking about here a certain craft or talent that we have to learn how to sell or how to work on a certain thing on our vessels. I know that talent is not something you learn. It's like it's something that you're born with.
Well, the skill or craft, we get it from above according to our prayers and according to the Creator's desire.
That's it exactly.
How
can we learn that after that talent is...
You don't need to learn it. You don't have any place to learn talent or skill. It's actually a quality that you get from above, from the Creator.
About this pain a little bit, simply logically, it's not clear. However, the desire to receive can feel pain from not bestowing. What is that pain?
If you have a little child that, God forbid, he's sick and you want to impart him with health, and you can't do it, and he cries and doesn't sleep, screams, etc., then you search for medicine. You search how to get out of it.
It's understood, but that's exactly the point. We have this perception. My little child, I love him. He is more precious to me than my own life. And therefore it hurts me when I'm helpless. But this matter of this function of love is missing.
We need to develop it. First of all, to feel that you depend on the Creator. And the Creator doesn't send healing for the time being. So what can I do? How can I awaken him, evoke him to send me this medicine?
The problem is that even in the example, I don't even feel like I'm sick. If I were to feel that I'm sick.
No, no, we're talking about your child. Why are you...
My child, okay, I feel I'm talking about a deficiency for bestowing. And the fact that I don't have, I'm supposed to feel it.
No, that you will have a desire to ask of the Creator.
We assert that studying to adhere to his commandments and drawing closer to him in the company of my friends brings him contentment.
We can check it. Yes. We need to see the results. And if we don't understand them, or we're not satisfied with them, then we have to raise it to the Creator again.
Okay, so if I can follow up the question. So actually, as I understand, we have to clean our evil inclination. So, but by actually... taking the bitter medicine, so-called bitter medicine, and actually see the evil in us, so we can get cleansed from it. That's how we can become good friends with each other and adhere to him. Is that correct?
Yes.
If we take
the
qualities in which we are far away from the Creator, and we try to change them, to replace them with qualities in which we will feel that we are close to the Creator, this is how we get closer to Him. This is called the work of corrections.
So what does that mean, actually? Does it that you're totally dependent, let's say, on the Creator, on your actions of giving?
It's
my nature, it's my character.
This is how we behave.
We don't have other vessels besides those ones.
So how can I come, let's say, so that the Creator will bless me so that I'll be able to give?
Ask.
There
is no other connection of a person with the Creator than the person asks and the Creator gives.
So should I ask for the blessing? Should I ask the Creator for the blessing to be able to give?
Yes, so that I'll have the possibility to bestow. Maybe not directly to the Creator, but through the friends.
Okay, let's say I started my studies and I believe what I was told is right, and I even accept it to the degree of knowledge. Later, when I look at the continuation of the work, the continuing of this work, this faith will bring me to a place that it will truly pain my body that I'm not like the Creator. Yes. So in that point, if I make a calculation, it's not worthwhile. That business is not so worthwhile. I need to believe and work hard and I this and that. In the end, bottom line,
yes. Today, it's true that it doesn't pay off. You feel good. You have everything. You don't lack anything. You feel that reaching the acquaintance with the Creator, getting to know Him, these are difficult things, they're big. Let's leave them for another time. Let's say for the next world, the next life. Yes.
I'm also told that I'll receive a little reward here, a little reward in the next world. I know what that is, but
Okay, and then you will decide. Nevertheless, you have a choice before you. Either to stay and continue in a beastly way, or you see what's good and what's bad ahead of you truly, and you move away from the bad, you get closer to the good, or you will do what the Torah says. But that is already a different kind of work. It's no longer for your body, it's for your soul.
The whole process from the beginning to the end is kind of like in the fog. Even then, you're told you get a reward, and you'll get a reward, but not you. The Creator will get a reward. It's a little correction, and then altogether you feel like with nothing.
Now,
again, the whole reward in the end will be that the Creator will get a reward. Work, believe. You'll get reward, yes, but it's not you. The Creator will receive the reward.
Why?
That's kind of like the goal. That's where you have to get to.
The goal is adhesion. The goal is adhesion between the person and the Creator. Equivalence.
This adhesion is on the scale, on the other side of the scale where the suffering was, where you had, where you're not even capable of doing anything.
Yes, in those same places that you were suffering, in them the pleasures are revealed.
Yeah. איפה אפשר לראות שהבורא נהנה? איך אפשר לזהות את זה?
יכול להיות שאחר כך אתה תראה את זה.
Where can we see the creator is enjoying?
צריך להיות חלק מהמטרה של הדבקות.
Maybe you'll see it later.
This needs to be part of the goal.
לענות לבורא זה...
To delight the creator is your work. That's your goal. And you want this to happen.
And you
know that working that more and more, shouldn't I see that he's actually enjoying it?
Know that it will truly be in order to receive a reward. That you're working in order to feel that you're giving to the creator. That's like in this world, in all sorts of our actions.
And we actually need to place a concealment on this kind of feeling.
Yes, of course. If I don't perform a concealment on this, it will be in order to receive.
And on the way, when we do this work of bestowing contentment to the Creator, we do get such feelings, such states where we really have to make a concealment over it.
Yes.
Meaning it's necessary, it has to happen.
Of course.
Yes.
He writes this to us also, Bala Sulam. This is the whole matter of the screens. Where and why the screens are there in the Pratsufim of Kedusha. It's all from that. Where a person doesn't want to receive clear attainment and clear feeling, this comes to him in an indirect manner. More?
Again.
Rav, Rashum. It says, from this we see that everywhere where the created beings feel that they can get pleasure for something, they immediately use this vessel called the will to receive for oneself, meaning for his own benefit. And a person should not be awakened to receive pleasure, but rather to the extent of the pleasure clothed in the thing, that pleasure attracts the person and he chases the pleasure in order to obtain it. This means that to the extent of the pleasure in that thing, so it awakens yearning in a person. It does, and this is in the will to receive. How do we develop yearning to bestow? How do we get that?
For the time being, between the friends, where see how much it benefits, how much it advances, how much it opens in you all kinds of feelings, whether you're bestowing or not. With such an attitude towards the friends, you start to discover your nature. More? Yes?
Belarus,
they're asking how to learn to feel the deficiency that the Creator gives us.
Out of us working on this, that which we're drawn to comes from the lack that the Creator implanted in us. Yes? He gave a person. Not to Adam HaRishon, but in general to man. But the question is now, what do I do with it? So first, I can see from this that the Creator wants to give me. But from giving me, I am not in the goal. I can maybe even enjoy what he's giving me. But I need to perform a restriction, a screen, reflected light. That is the intention in order to bestow to him. And then, and only then, can I perform an action that connects me and him. By us coming into equality of form by me wanting to give him and him giving to me. This is called that the direct light clothes the reflected light. And then we feel, I feel the Creator and His action, and we are delighted from our equalization. That is the right action.
They continue and ask, with the help of which efforts and conditions in the work in the Ten can we discover the greatness of the Creator?
Only according to what we said, that in such a manner that I begin to relate to the Creator like He relates to me, then by this I build in me the image of the Creator. That is called the revelation of the Creator in the created being.
Earlier, a friend asked, how do we know that we are giving contentment to the Creator? And your answer was that in every action that we aim to give Him contentment, this already gives Him contentment. So, first of all, the question is, why is it so?
Because we intend to do.
But why does that give him contentment? As an example, it's difficult for a person to get up for the lesson. He does a lot of overcoming until he pulls himself out of bed and he decides, I'm going to do it in order to give the Creator contentment, even though it's very hard for me to perform this action. So in this action, there's no joy or uplifted spirit, but rather...
Those were additional things, but at least there is an act.
Sometimes there's a calculation that if I won't do it, maybe I'll get some blow from the Creator, maybe I'll make Him angry, so...
Then the calculation is not to bestow to the Creator, but to prevent ourselves from being receiving a blow.
Exactly, so in that state, is it always giving Him contentment? Because in the end, He says, I take the Creator into consideration, but on the side of not being hurt by Him.
Yes, nevertheless, that's on the way, yes.
Yaakov.
How come when a person asks for a deficiency for bestowal, it's called an act?
Because except for a deficiency that he formulates in him, he can't do anything.
But why is it attributed to him, to the person?
Because the deficiency wasn't anywhere else before. From all the feelings, from all the calculations, he now establishes a deficiency for something that he's demanding from the Creator.
What does it mean to establish that deficiency?
He knows in quality and quantity and in the result what he wants.
And how do we come to creating or to doing this act?
We don't do the act. We just ask, demand. Our doing, our act sometimes happens when we do it with intentions.
So why is it called an act on the part of the created being? He says it's an act on the part of the created being.
Because the created being is left with nothing to do. The Creator does everything. The created being only asks.
Asks for that thing to have a deficiency for bestowal.
Yes.
And how do we help each other ask for this so the focus is on that?
We give examples. We support. We connect. We have many means for that.
And then this is called doing it together?
Doing together is something else already. Together means that we already understand what order of actions we have to do in order to implement that deed. And by that, we do it. We do the action.
Beseder.
Rav, there was an example you gave before that I have a question about. If a person is sick, even if he's terminally ill, he will not ask for himself. He may not ask for himself even when he's in critical condition. But if his child is in a difficult situation, he does prayer.
Right.
Both states are in the will to receive. So what's the difference here? Why does it? Why is the will to receive of the son more important to him than his own?
On himself, he has calculations and forces, but for the child, there are no calculations or forces. So he just cries out. He feels that pain. And except for the feeling of pain, he has nothing. That's why a person here, in this case, is weak.
How do we come to a state where the desire to bestow is more important to me so I can pray for it than the desire to receive for myself?
It's not right now. First, we have to try to have vessels to exchange our vessels from reception to bestow. And then actions of bestow. Such special actions we can activate now in order to bestow, but it's only individual actions.
Thank you. Speaking of this, you said that we have to awaken the Creator to send healing.
Yes.
When a person has a sick child, how do we do this correctly? How do we make the Creator send healing if there is such a situation?
We pray in all our forces, from all sides. We ask from the Creator. We don't let go. And we glue that request to all of our actions. When I wake up, when I go, when I do, everywhere I put that request in there, that man.
A person walks around with this pain in his stomach that he can't help himself, but because this is, it is such a sensitive spot, how does he make that request something that's connected to correction and not just an animal that's hurting?
To ask for the ill person, you healed your people of Israel, and just beg.
Beg.
It's a time that it's an act that you can ask for.
And how can a person's 10 help in such a state?
Of course, when the 10 joins here, it's a great force.
Final question, if I may. What is the benefit for the person when the Creator grabs him by the most precious thing for him?
To awaken a person to do something with him, so we have relatives and we have opportunities. Sorry.
Rav, can you tell us how this article relates to the ten?
Yeah, let's say that in the ten somebody needs help. So how should I take his deficiency, and in which way to bring it to the Creator, what we have to get back from the Creator, and then give it back to that friend or society? It obligates us. That obligates us. Latin.
When we get an inspiration to perform an act of mitzvah, a deed, to help a friend, but immediately ego sneaks in and wants to own it. But we catch it. And at that moment, we feel the pain that the ego wants to own it. And at that moment, if we make a plea to Creator, no, I want this deed to be for your sake, in order to bestow. I don't want it to go to my ego. Does that make it so?
No.
Before we connect between us, we can't have a right plea towards the Creator.
Haifa 3.
Okay, Haifa 3.
It's
written that the Creator gives the ability to bestow. What vessel activates? What trigger activates this skill, this ability?
What reason activates the desire to bestow from behalf of the vessel towards the Creator? It's when we gather and connect our small desires to bestow into one, and then we can activate that one desire with their bestow towards the Creator.
Good morning, Dila. I have two small questions. The first question, when you make an effort to connect in the group, does it count as bestowal? Can it be said that by this you please the Creator?
Yes.
Thank you. If I may, another question. To get to the quality of bestowal, we have to learn to bestow in the corporeal world. And you need to check yourself and see what you're getting in return from the Creator. And then gradually you educate yourself into the quality of bestowal.
No,
it'll be reception in order to receive from the Creator.
Вот как-то после конгресса возник ступор. Мы вчера говорили о благодарности, что в принципе благодарность.
After the congress, we talked about gratitude. That in principle the Creator doesn't need gratitude. We need to express it.
Как ему отдавать, если бы это был царь человек?
How do we bestow upon the Creator if he has everything? Bestowing upon a person, that's clear. But how do we give to the Creator if it's a system that's satisfied?
You bestow all your desires, thoughts, aspirations, yearnings, dreams, everything you have in you. You're willing to give him everything. He feels it and enjoys you.
Should I repeat myself?
Yeah.
He writes in the end, your work is to have a deficiency to bring contentment to the Creator. But now this 10 is going through a completely corporeal deficiency. How do you connect that deficiency, corporeal deficiency that you completely want? Like you said, we have to beg, we have to ask. How do you connect it to contentment to the Creator? Your heart is entirely in the corporeal deficiency, not in contentment to the Creator.
That's not important. When I do a corporeal deed or more, I want by this to cause contentment to the Creator.
What does it mean? By a child getting better, I want to bring contentment to the Creator?
Yes.
How come?
I'm asking the Creator for health for my child. And I want my child to feel that he's feeling better and getting healthy and waking up happily into a new day. And from that, the Creator will get contentment.
Is the contentment to the Creator from the healthy child or from my request?
The contentment to the Creator gives contentment to the Creator.
the healthy child.
Yes.
And my request, it's only a means for it.
What feeling?
The request.
Your request is the means.
So I'm like an adapter here between the Creator and the corporeal deficiency in front of me, and I...
Yeah.
So he wants to receive contentment from this cycle?
Yes.
One more question. You answered it, but it wasn't clear. In the article, he talks about turning to the right name, right Creator. But what does it mean? The plea is always from the heart. I don't sit and write a prayer and then, oh, I'm sorry, I sent it, the mail to the wrong address. What does it mean to turn to the right Creator, right name?
That means to turn to the right source of all of life, all of the influences in the world, and ask from Him some kind of bestowal that is aimed and directed and small for, let's say, for health.
That's clear, but it's not like I say, oh, sorry, I turn to, he gives me garments and I want healing. Of course I want healing. I don't understand this right name thing. Because naturally I want healing. If I have a sick child, I want healing.
The Creator is the healer of the ill.
אם אפשר קצת להתעכב על הנקודה הזאת ש...
I'd like to של הגימל לראות שאומר שהעיקר זה ההיראה שהוא רב ושליט. That thing that he needs to see that he's great and ruling. That's the main thing. And he develops it and he says we have to find that he is good and does good. So in the rest of the fears, like that his children will not die, that he will get spirituality, it came to us before we had a time, usually. Even this morning, I wasn't afraid that my child would be sick, so I came to the lesson, all kinds of things like that. I don't want to erase it, but let's say in the 10, there's a friend whose wife doesn't let him come, or his child is sick. How do we use this in order to shift from the corporeal fears to the higher fears in the 10? To get to the fear that he is great and ruling, that he is good and does good.
Read about it, talk about it, awaken it.
But
it's more of a problem for a person to ask for himself. So when we take a friend's deficiency and together as a 10 try to turn it into our deficiency, is that closer to that kind of fear?
Of course, if a friend has a problem, God forbid, and we hear about it and we incorporate with him, and each one of us raises some small deficiency to the Creator for that,
that
is a very good action. And it works.
I understand
that fear is before love, before we have the intention to bring him contentment and all that.
No. Correct, even though it's a different fear, but...
So is there something in the 10 that we can do, some kind of leap in the work between us, from which we can then relate afterwards to the Creator by engaging in the friend's deficiencies?
We can be in fear from not bestowing correctly to our friends or not bestowing at all. And that's why it seems to us that they aren't in the ascents as they deserve, and it's all our fault.
And
when we reach it and pray for it and ask, we ask that from our work we'll get a result, so we can discover that our deeds need to be for connection and prayer. I don't understand what's the contribution of the kings dying, that when these vessels aren't used anymore, that is what lets the process develop, the cascading of the worlds and then the ascending above.
Parts of the vessels broke. Its parts broke, right? Although in each part, everything was present in mixture, in a mixture. So, by correcting, without correction, it's impossible. By correcting the broken melachim, kings, by this we revive
melachim amitim,
the kings. Well,
correction is a coupling over lower phases, or is it over desires that descended downward?
Everything we have is forms of incorporation and couplings. It's over everything.
So it turns out that, at least for the first time, I feel that there's a part of the desire that once it shattered and went downward, that was the correction, and not that the light goes lower down in the cascading of the world, but the desire goes down.
There is a certain quota, certain dosage to the desires through the breaking. Before the breaking, there could not be sorting, a dosage or a quota in the desires. Now, through the breaking, you have a ladder of degrees that are arranged according to how they can enter holiness. Of course, it's after corrections, but to the extent that they are more or less mixed and mingled, you can turn them into a new ladder where from below, from the bottom to the top, all the degrees stand to the extent that they're broken. The broken ones are lower and the less broken are higher. All the vessels can stand to the extent that vessels of bestowal are incorporated in them, from the bottom to the top. To the extent that the vessels are mixed with the shatterings, they can stand like that, from the bottom to the top, from below upward. And there are all kinds of changes in them, differences between them. So the shattering lets you feel the essence of each and every vessel and what it lacks, that vessel, in order to rise and become revealed and be as a complete vessel.
Therefore,
this is why the shattering is such an important.
He says at the end of the paragraph that then they were clarified and returned to dust. So everything you talked about sorting it out, that's what was sorted when they were clarified. That's actually the work. not to correct, but to separate and reach a state that in man there's that separation between what he can add to holiness and what he can't add to holiness. And that's the whole matter of the shattering, that he doesn't know what he could or couldn't.
Yes, now in the shattering, as a result of the shattering through the reforming light, he sees which vessel is fit and which is unfit, and to what extent, right? At what level it is. Meaning now we need to see a new ladder, where in vessels that see the greatest lights, and down, as they cascade and come into vessels that there's nothing to do with them. And afterwards, we will see how we sort them.
That's what he's describing, that every time there's a correction and there's a part that you can't correct, then it joins the stony heart and it's accumulated below, like a pile that in the end the Creator will come and correct it.
Okay. Read item 9.
Number 9. The thing is that these seven kings are the Gvuot that emerged in the world first. It is written, in the beginning God created. Afterwards, he associated the quality of mercy with it in the day that the Lord God made, so that the world could exist and not return to tohu vavohu. As it is written, now the earth was unformed and void. After he says, in the beginning God created, which are the seven kings? There are seven worlds corresponding to them in the verse, in the beginning. The name Havaya is the Chassadim and is the eighth king called Hadar, which is the upper Chesed, as mentioned in the Idra. And this is the Neimah. It is known that the Neimah is Chassadim and the name Bon is in Gvurot. They are all harsh and strong judgments from which dross and shells came out through their death and fall as the dust of the upper earth. That dust that will be in the ground of the tabernacle, the world of Bria, where they were sorted as in a man in the grave. This is because Bria, under the Mishkan, is Malchut of Atzilut, and these strong sparks are thrown there. As it is written in the portion of Pudei, throws sparks in every direction and sorts the waste from within the thought. Thus, throwing these sparks down to Bria is to sort out the waste and the shells that were in potential in the upper thought and have now been executed, as the sparks that the craftsman beats with his hammer instantly quenched, so these sparks quenched and died and returned to the dust, and then they were sorted.
In other words, there was a breaking. After the breaking, everyone seemingly descended to the degree of dust, and now from the dust they have to be sorted out.
שאלה, איך להשתמש נכון בכל המצבים
שמתעוררים? How to use all the states that are awakening after the Congress, how to use them correctly.
מה המצבים החדשים?
What are the new states?
לא יודע אם בדרך כלל, אני מדבר על עצמי.
Usually, well, I'll speak about, at least about myself and my surroundings, that the days after the Congress, there's like scatterness, vagueness.
Well, someone who learned technology knows that there is an ascent, like a leap, and then a descent, and then a return. Gradually, through these harmonics. It's the same in every system, including our system.
So in this part, when we're below, before it rises, what happens there?
There too, it takes a lot of patience in learning that is suitable for the person who is going through such states. That's it. I don't remember what article can really be suitable for this.